Johnny, he's going fast. I didn't know what way, you know, but it was good. And I appreciate that. And I know you enjoyed them coming and being with us in the service tonight. Now, they had a new church, and they just brought in their new church, and I was over there. And I came to the same identical situation here as I was when I was over at Eastside, because they had their service on Sunday, the first day, and they went into their new church. And then I started on Monday night, and I did the same thing here. And I tell you, I praise God for nice church buildings. Don't you say amen? That's true. We don't worship the building, but it's good to have a nice one. And, you know, I was in a church, and I won't tell you where, in Tennessee. And there's some folks that they thought it was old-fashioned. Now, you know, a lot of folks, when they don't know what old-fashioned really is. But they're going to air condition the auditorium. He said, I don't want that. And I said, well, brother, that'd be good, pretty good, I think, as hot as it was up in Tennessee when I was preaching. He said, well, I don't want that. I want to use God's air. I said, I don't believe in air condition. I said, all right, I'll agree with that if you use God's air in the wintertime. Say amen to that. Thank God you want it warmed up and you want God's air in the wintertime. But you see how foolish some folks can be. They think, you know, to get air conditioned and get nice pews. Now, the only thing bad about these pews, you know, you can go to sleep a lot easier. That's right. Yes, sir. You go to sleep a lot, but you know, it's nice. I think God's house ought to be the nicest house in the community.
Amen.
I believe that God's house ought to be the prettiest house in the community. I really do. And I thank God for this beautiful church and the blessings. And somebody said, oh, if you get over there, you can shout. Well, if you had anything to shout before you got over here, you can shout.
Amen.
Now, if you didn't have anything to shout before you got over here, you can't shout. You see, now, but if you had something before you got here, praise God, you can shout anywhere. Well, I shouted a lot of places and thought I wouldn't shout. Well, I got thrown out of Capernaum, bless God, for shouting one of these things. Amen. But, you know, it is good. We've enjoyed the message, and I know you enjoyed the songs tonight by Eastside Choir, and we do appreciate them coming. Brother Guy is in a meeting. We appreciate Brother Guy. I love Brother Guy Ringwater. I don't know of a sweeter person that you'll ever meet till you get to heaven than Guy Ringwater. He is. He's really. I appreciate him. And I love him. And for 18 years, I've been with him every year in the revival. And my wife prayed every year, Lord, let some of that rub off on me. We always enjoy being with Brother Guy. First time my wife said amen all night. Bless God. That's him. But anyway, it is good. And we appreciate the blessings of being here. And I appreciate Brother Roger and his wife and the men here, the deacons. And I appreciate the church and those that have worked hard and those that have prayed. And now, you see, it's time to get up and get out and do something for God. You got somewhere to put them. Fill it up. Fill it up. Amen. People starving to death all over this nation. Did you know? Oh, not only here, but everywhere you go, people are hungry for the old-fashioned gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, we got the best thing in the world. We got the old-fashioned gospel. Amen.
Right.
Well, I don't want nothing else. You can have all this modern stuff. I don't want it. Praise God, I like this old-fashioned time. Amen. And I do praise the Lord. Now, tomorrow night, I'll continue the message on everybody ought to know who Jesus is. And tomorrow night, we'll take the letter D. And then Saturday night, and I may have to skip D and go to F, because we won't have 26 nights, or I preach 26 nights on Jesus. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. I'm glad I know him. Oh, what a day, what a day. I met him one day, praise God. And did you know, I walk with him every day now. Amen. And I talk with him every day now. And you know, he lives. Why, he's not over 100. You know, some of you don't know these two guys, but I was with one of them week before last revival. Red heard him. He shouts all the time. I was preaching the other night. He ran over, opened the window, shouted out the window, let the window down, and came sat down. I didn't know why he had to let it out, but praise God, he did. And it didn't bother me. It bothered me. But I remember we was over in Jerusalem, and he got into the tomb, and Donald took the outside of the tomb, and Donald hollered, is he in there? And Redler hollered, no, he's not. And he came here by Jerusalem over there. He got it all the time. But I'm glad he lives. And what a blessing. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Now, you may not know who lives down the road, but you better get acquainted with the Son of God.
Amen.
You're going to need to know him. I'm glad, bless God. I believe he's so precious. But tomorrow night, we'll continue the message. Let everybody else know who Jesus is. And then Sunday afternoon, just want to say this, at 2:30, we'll have a service between 2:30 and 3:30. Now, you say, well, what if it runs over? If it gets good, we will run over. If you get the Holy Ghost, you better stay in a while. Say amen. Some of you folks got 12 o'clock itis. Bless God, you have to get out that old 12 o'clock on Sunday morning. Say amen. I heard one preacher back there grunt a little amen. Thank you, Brother Kevin. I appreciate that. He must have a bunch of new church that like that 12 o'clock dismissal. Amen. But listen, and a lot of times you ought to get out here at 11:30. Amen. And a lot of times you ought to let out a lot. You know, if God ain't around, you might as well go on home.
Amen.
A lot of times, because God be saying, oh, God's around. I don't know where he's around all the time. But when he's not, you might as well go home. But when he is, you better bog in instead. Glory to God, I like that. I think one time I was with Maranatha Baptist Church on Sunday afternoon. I was supposed to pick up my wife at 6:30 and brought her back across town back for the service, for the night service. At 6:20, I called her. We just let out. I went in the office over there. And I called her. She said, how come you're not on your way home? I said, I just dismissed from the 2:30 church. We've been there from 2:30 to 6:15. And nobody got tired. Nobody went home. Boy, it got so good. Glory to God. I want to tell you what's it to do. It got so foggy you couldn't see a thing around that. And that's the kind of service I like.
Amen.
Now, a lot of times, and I told you, brother, and I've never been in but one like that. And lasted from 2:30 in the afternoon to 6:15. While they got so happy, they got to shout and so they went out and got their lovers and got to bring them back and they got to get saved. Some of them Baptists got recapped. Praise God. And I tell you, it was good and we enjoy it. Now, if you ever get saved, now you don't get saved but one time.
Amen.
You need to get that straight. Amen. You don't get saved today and lost tomorrow. Say, if you ever get saved, you're saved for time and for eternity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lady said to me one night, I said, preacher, I'd like to stroll over heaven with you. I said, it's left up to you, sister, because I'll be there. Amen. I'm not worried about it. I'll be there and saved for the grace of God. But you need to know that. But some of these Baptists need recapping every once in a while. You know, just come back again and get out and cover yourself before God. Oh, it's a blessing. But Sunday afternoon, I'm going to preach on this. Now, listen. They legalized abortion, which is wrong, and it's murder, and it's terrible.
Amen.
It's awful. It's awful. 900,000 little unborn babies were murdered last year in America. Nearly a million. You think about that. Nearly a million were killed. Now, I'll tell you Sunday afternoon that life and death does not belong in the hands of man.
Right.
God gives life, and God's got a right to take it away. But I'm going to tell you something Sunday afternoon. I've never preached it for one time, North Carolina, but listen to me. I'm going to preach on what's after abortion and what will be legalized that's worse than abortion. And you say, and it's killing you. You'll be surprised when you walk out that door. And in the Bible, they had it a long time ago. But they'll get it here, you think. And a lot of you say, well, I don't believe certain things are going to happen. You stick around. You're going to see a lot of things that you didn't think was going to happen. But I'll tell you what the Supreme Court is going to legalize next. And you want to be here Sunday afternoon. And listen, abortion's bad, but this is worse than abortion. This is worse than abortion. And I want you to hear Sunday afternoon that you come bring your Bible. Now, don't forget every night. Maybe the morning's the last service. In the morning service, Brother Rodney said, boy, it got so foggy around here this morning. Maybe just having him crying in the Holy Ghost. And that's wonderful. And a blessing. And I tell you, it's good tonight to have you in the church. Now, have your Bible turned to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9. I'm going to read there, and then I'll continue tonight, and everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Night before last, I spoke on everybody ought to know who Jesus is, and we used the letter A. Last night, I spoke on everybody ought to know, and we used the letter B. Tonight, we'll use the letter C. And tomorrow night, we'll use the letter D. And we'll go right on down the line, and I believe God will bless our hearts. Now, Isaiah, let me say this while you turn to Isaiah, in case you didn't know this. Isaiah wrote this 700 years before Jesus came. Number two, Isaiah is a type of the complete Bible. Now, it's canon of the Scriptures. Now, remember that. Isaiah is a type of the complete canon of the Scriptures. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah is like the 39 books of the Old Testament. Beginning with first, our chapter 40 and going through 66, you have the picture of the New Testament at 27. And did you know the Old Testament, that 39 ends like the Old Testament, and you know how that chapter 40 of Isaiah begins? Like the New Testament. It said, a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. You know how the New Testament opens up in the book of Mark? A voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Now, Isaiah is a type of the whole Bible. And he lived 700 years. Now, you have your Bible. I want you to look at the birth of a prince. Oh, yes. The prince of peace. And if you have your Bible, we'll read it, if you will. Verse 6, and verse 7. And I give you the reflection, and I'll speak to you tonight, and everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For unto us, verse 6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Now let me give you something, I'll help you. You don't say Jesus is wonderful. He is, but that's not what this verse says. His name is wonderful. You call me Maze. His name is wonderful. See, you say, how do you do wonderful? That was his name. You see, that wasn't an accident. That's his name. Wonderful. Oh, I like it, don't you? That's good right there. Let's have some shout on that about it. His name is wonderful. Not a description. His name is wonderful. Now, notice what he says. Counselor. Oh, how do you do, Mr. Counselor? The mighty God. Boy, that was something. I like that. I might just shout about 30 minutes. He's the mighty God. Now listen, this is what he says. The everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government, shall be peace. There shall be no end upon the throne of David and his kingdom, over it, order it, and listen, to establish it with judgment and with justice from his forth, even forever. The seal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now notice what he says. He said, the Lord's going to do this. Now, man can't do this. Man can't save. Man can't bless. Man can't do what God said that the Savior would come and do. And he said, of this one, I write you about. I repeat about. For just a word of prayer over the house in just a few seconds. I'll preach to you tonight. Oh, everybody ought to know who Jesus is. And I believe if you'll pray tonight, God will bless your heart and bless mine and bless everybody here. Father, thank you, Lord, for the good singing, for the East Side Choir. Oh, Holy Ghost, we thank you for this good church and Brother Roger. We thank you tonight, our Father, for every good pastor that's come to be in the service tonight. And then, Lord, for every precious mother that has come here tonight, Lord, that are hungry. I pray that they'll eat at the table of God. There's some here tonight, our Father, that thirst me. I pray they'll drink from a satisfying fountain. There's some here, our Father, tonight that are weary in well-doing. But may the seal of the Lord stir their hearts. And I pray tonight, our Father, before we leave here, that we don't know Jesus better. And our Father, I pray that this week every one of these sermons will be acquainted with the blessed Christ, the Son of God. And I thank you that He is, and He was, and He shall ever be the Son of the living God. I'm glad that He is the one who was and is and shall come, the everlasting one, and bless His wonderful name. I pray that You bless our hands in the preaching. Lord, for somebody running from God, backslidden away from God, may they come back to God tonight. And then for that poor lost sinner, I pray that you'll be saved ere he leaves this house tonight. And we'll thank Him, we'll praise You, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So let it tonight, I want to speak on everybody ought to know who Jesus is. And I'm so glad tonight. I never met one just like Him. He's so unusual. Little boy asked me one night when I got to preaching. Said, Brother Mays, how did that king look in that furnace and know that Jesus was the Son of God? I said, son, if you ever see Him, I don't care who you are. If you ever see Him, you'll know Him. Because, bless God, there's no one like Him. And somebody said, why should we know who Jesus is? Now watch this. Isaiah picked up the telescope of time. And by way of introduction, 700 years before he was born, he saw three seeds. You say, what did he see? First, he saw cribs. Secondly, he saw a cross. And thirdly, he saw a crown. Watch what the Bible says. Somebody said, what did he see? He said, I know a child is born. Never was there one born like him. A little virgin went down into the mysterious land of motherhood. And the Holy Ghost overshadowed her. And thank God, a child was born named Christ the Lord. And if you don't believe in the virgin birth, I've heard people say, do you believe that was a virgin birth? I don't believe you can be saved and not believe the virgin birth. And maybe conceived of the Holy Ghost at the earthly power. God, praise God. When you get to preaching about the virgin birth, it's a time for the new birth. God had to do both of them. I'm glad He breathed my Savior, and then He breathed my soul. And praise God, I was virgin born by the Holy Ghost in the second birth. I was born in the first birth, but I was born secondly of the Holy Ghost as a virgin birth. But He saw a crib, secondly. He saw a cross, is what He said. And under us, a child is born and then such son was given. And where the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Let me tell you something. God had one son, one begotten son, and he gave him to the cross that he might die for your sin and for my sin. And I'm glad that Isaiah said, I saw a child born. It's a crib. He said, I saw a son given on a cross. And then he said, I saw a crown because the government shall be upon his shoulders. It'll not be on Ford's shoulders. It'll not be on whose hands. But I'm glad the son of the time, the Lord Jesus, the son of God, the government shall be upon his shoulder. And there'll be peace for 1,000 years. And you talk about hallelujah. Ever took his place will be made straight. And the Bible said the desert will bless my clothes. Can't you see somebody running down the road and say, hey, I wonder why that old blind man yonder can see. And if he didn't hear, he's ringing in Zion. You'll see somebody that used to have a bunch of crutches. And you say, why did he quit rid of those crutches? And you say, praise God, have you not heard? A new ruler that just started ringing and shining. I want to tell you, this church is going to be blessed. But somebody said to me tonight, why should we know who Jesus is? Let me give you the seeds tonight. Number one, we ought to know him because he's the creator and sustainer of all things. By him was all things made that was made. Praise God. The Bible said nothing was made without him. And I want to show you something. I just will help you. I heard people say, when did Jesus begin? It didn't have any beginning. It said in the beginning was the Word. Woo! The Word was made. And baptized among us. And I'm glad but so hard tonight that I serve a Jesus that was baptized in the beginning. And it was Jesus with the Father and the Holy Ghost that created everything. Bless God that's created. Did you know my mother used to say something? I like this. I was a little boy, she'd say, Mace Jr., look at that tree. And I'd say, I'm looking at Mama. She'd say, Jesus made it. She'd say, look at that mountain. I'd say, I'm looking at that mountain because I'm from the mountains. Somebody said, well, I wouldn't get it. Well, some of you are, but you were saying you came down.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My Bible said, I lift up mine eyes. I'm the hills from which cometh my help. My mother used to say, she had a mountain on her knees. Say, Jesus made it. Say, you see that box under that? Jesus made it. And the Bible said, all that was made by him. He created it. This is what the book says. In the beginning, God. Now, if you don't believe that, you can't believe the rest of it. I don't know where the beginning was, but you remember this back on the pinnacle before time, a billion, trillion, billion, trillion, billion times a million years. Oh, somewhere you'll find God sitting there, praise God, in the beginning. He has no beginning. He has no ending. And he's the creator. Now, watch this. And he said, and he spoke, and he created the heaven and the earth. Now watch this. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. But two things happened. The Bible said the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. And then he said, let there be light. And there was light. You know what that creation or recreation's like is? My soul, when I was lost, I was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. But one day the Holy Ghost came and praise God. He moved upon the darkness of the waters of our soul. And the Holy Ghost said, let there be light. And there was light. You may be carried a million years. And light shined in my soul. Woo! Praise the Lord. He created the earth and the world and the heavens. And then secondly, he created man. Don't you kids believe that old long Mr. Professor that needs a haircut and his whiskers bend off? Say amen. He gets up and tells you that man came from a tadpole and a bullfrog. I'll tell you where man came from. The hand of Jesus. God bless his name. Brother, let me tell you, he created us.
and his own image created us in his own image.
Yes.
And you say, preacher, I tell you, it says in God, the Lord God formed man out of dust of the ground, breathed his nostrils of the life, and man became a living soul. There was a time when you were not. There will never be a time when you'll not be somewhere, either in heaven or in hell.
Yes.
But he says, God, the Lord Jesus is the creator of man. He made me. I've got news for you. He remade me. Go away! Praise God. I want you to know the Lord Jesus Christ remade me. Yeah. I was down in Columbus, Georgia one time with Dr. Glaze at Calvary Baptist Church. Big old church and great fella. And that Glaze, great man of God. And I was up preaching and shouting and having me a time. And I had a little old boy sitting on the front row. He's the smartest little fella I ever heard. And he come up to me and asked me a question after the service. And he came up one night and he said, Brother Mays. And I said, yes, sir. He said, how long the prodigal son stayed in the home? I said, till he got tired of feeding the pigs.
Amen.
I don't know how long he stayed. That's not, he got tired of feeding the swine. And then one day he got up and said, I believe I'll go home. And I'm headed for a better country. And he said, I believe I'll go home. And I was preaching there one night. I got to preach a little boy called to me. He said, Brother Mason. I said, yes, sir, fella. He said, was it raining or sunshine when God created Adam? I said, the Bible don't say it. Oh, he said, yes, it does. I said, no, it don't, son. You know, a lot of people say the Bible says things it don't say.
Yes.
For instance, a lady came to me one night. She said, Bible said, without holiness, man, no man see God. I said, no, ma'am. Nobody believes in the holiness more than I do, but the Bible don't say that. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, it said, follow peace and holiness. Without which one will see God. You see, it says follow those two things.
Right.
You don't hear folks talking about following peace.
Yeah.
Some of those I better get on that. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. But you need to quote the Bible right. I never forget I was picking up my mouth one night and I preached on the rich young ruler and I said the Bible said, give it to the poor. No, blessed old saint of God came up and said, Brother Mays, you misquoted it. And I said, did I? I'm sorry if I did. He said, you said the Bible said, give it to the poor. Said the Bible don't say that. Said the Bible said give to the poor. There's a lot of difference in give it to and give to the poor. Because you can't give somebody bad if you give
it.
You can all say amen. But you know that's what the Bible said. And I said, excuse me, I'm sorry. I misquoted the Bible. But a lot of people don't know what the Bible says when it comes to. And so I said, that little boy, okay, son, if you want to know, I'll quote it to you. Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God for man out of dust ground to bring the house of Bethlehem like man the king. And he said, slow up and quote it again. I said, all right. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust. He said, stop. He said, if it had been raining, it would have been mud. And I said, ah, praise the Lord. So I want to tell you tonight, you say, who is Jesus? I'll tell you who Jesus is. He's the creator of all things. Not only is he the creator of all things, he's the chief cornerstone.
Yeah.
That blesses me. He's the stone, listen, that the builders rejected. But he, as old Simon Peter said, is a sure foundation. Is laid in Zion. Oh, I like that word, Zion.
Yeah.
He said it's a sure foundation. Is laid in Zion. A chief cornerstone. A sure foundation. I want to tell you it's good tonight to know the cornerstone. Praise God is the land forever. He said there's a cornerstone. Now watch three things that need to be built on that cornerstone. First, your church. If you build your church on two of them, and listen, I like some of these preachers. I don't reckon I can thank God's blessings. They can get those little kids in church, preach Jesus to them, get them saved. I wouldn't do it myself, but I don't knock them. I hear to leave the dog and knock it. And I wouldn't knock them if they get them to Jesus.
Well,
I've got against them. A lot of them, let's not get them in there just for noses, ears, and numbers instead of getting their souls to Jesus. Brother, the main thing is getting people to God. The main thing is preaching to them. I should get them in the house of God. If you preach to them, mister, I don't know, but I wouldn't do that either. But you know what? You can't build your church on shouting. Are you listening? Nobody be shouting anymore than I do. I can't. I was born in fire and I can't live in the smoke. Say amen. But I believe in shouting. You never been around a preacher. That means it's shouting anymore than I do. I remember up to Jubilee last year in Nashville on a Wednesday morning. If you were there, I never saw anything like it. The Bible teacher just stood there and wept and shook his head like this. He couldn't say a thing. And Carl Smith with used to be down here. Brother, he's come up on the knees. And there was a shouting and a praising God. And he did it for an hour and 40 minutes. Somebody said, what did you do? I was right in the middle of it. So Somebody said, I wouldn't want to have been there. No, you'd been out of place.
Amen.
I've had all this time and you ever saw in your life. But if you build your church on shouting, brother, she'll go down.
Right.
Let me give you something else. You build it on singing. Nobody likes singing any better than Brother Reeves. Oh, singing to me gets me ready for the sermon. I think a good song and God squeezes in my heart and you runs out my eyes. Gets me ready, brother, for the preaching of the Word of God. And let me say this to you. You don't build a church on a preacher's personality.
That's right.
You better build that church on the stone that was
praised.
The rock of Jesus. You better build it. Secondly, you better build your home on the chief cornerstone. You better not build your home on some of those Jezebel ideas that you've got. As you can marry kids, y'all still be going, well, that don't work. Now, you put that down. Let's not, you better build your home by chief cornerstone. And it'll stand. Oh, by the winds of blow. And there'll be a lot of times you think your home's going to go down. But Jesus said the wise man built his house on the rock. And then the wind blew. And the storm came. That's a man that built his house on the rock stone. You better build number three in your life. Some of you young people, you listen to me tonight. Only life that's going to stand will be the life that's lived for God. That life that's anchored in the chief cornerstone. Oh, that life that's built on the rock. It's the only life that's going to stand. And somebody said, preacher, what about it? I should know who Jesus is. First of all, you ought to know who Jesus is. He's the creator. Secondly, he's the chief cornerstone. I like this one. He's the chief shepherd. Oh, the sheep love the shepherd. Don't you like something? I like that. The shepherd. You know, I used to wonder about this song. Where can I shelter myself? I don't know why. I never could get that song. I'm not critical. I never could find out what this talking about. I tell you what Isaiah 40 says. He said, he'll take his lambs up in his bush. If you know a better place to shelter your sheep, bless God, than the bosom of God and the bosom of the chief shepherd, you let me know. Listen, when Jesus picks you up as the sheep or the lamb, and Jesus puts you in his bosom, and they tell you that's the best place I know. You have to find a resting place. For you to find a place to shelter in. Shelter in the arms of God. And you won't have to worry. Now watch this. On you, some. This will help you tonight. John chapter 10 gives you the divine order of God. In any church, I don't care if it's your church down here, brother, you got up. I don't care if it's your church, Adam. I don't care if it's your church, Brother Tommy. I don't care if it's the church I belong to. I don't care whether it's beside. God has a divine plan in John chapter 10 is what he said. The chief shepherd, then the under shepherd, and the sheep. Now the under shepherd is to take the orders from the chief shepherd. And the sheep are to follow that shepherd. Are you the sheep? Did you ever see a bunch of sheep leading the shepherd? That's not right. It's the shepherd that leads the sheep. Yeah. Oh, can't you see the good shepherd? Oh, listen. As he pastors his sheep, I'm still a good pastor, you know. Start to lead sheep and they lead them, you know. And they follow the shepherd and they follow the shepherd. God's given them the under shepherd of the church. One old sheep raises up on his all four and says, "Bah!" And the shepherd turned around and said, "What's the matter with you this morning?" He said, I don't want to graze where you're taking me. I'm going to homecoming or singing. Say amen. That God is for me. You're to graze where the shepherd leads you.
Amen.
Amen. You're to graze. Now you've got in front of my church and boy, he bothered me. He never would vote for anything. I don't. Well, I used to think it's a ghost, but I don't know. You know, I believe God puts one of them in there. But I'm in old pie. Put my wife in there. He's a policeman. And boy, he had Armageddon speech. You tell somebody go to heaven, he'd be in heaven. I'm going to tell you, it'd be here if they ever saw us. But you know what he did one day? He had two Baptist preachers for brothers. I like that. And boy, every time he'd go see his Baptist preachers, a brother said, "Say, now listen, maybe it may not always be right in your eyes, but you go with it. And turn him over to God. And if may take right, let God take it." And that's the word, but God is in him. Don't try to get up like, you say, "I don't agree with you, Brother Mace, but I'm going to vote for it." And I never forget one time he went to the First Baptist Church in Greenwood. And he saw that in the First Baptist Church they paid their pastor more than they paid me. And he got up on one Sunday, or Wednesday night, and I said, "Brother Mace." I said, "Yes, Brother Clyde." He stood there, and I see him holding about. He said, I went to the First Baptist Church or something. I forget what he said. But he said, I picked up their little bulletin, and he said, I saw their pastor Sally, and he said, Brother Mason, they're paying their pastor of the First Baptist Church more than we're paying you. And he said, you're a better preacher than the First Baptist preacher. Said, if you wasn't, bless God, I'd go join the First Baptist Church. He said, I'll make a motion that we raise you $5 more than he makes, and every time he gets a raise, we raise you $5 more. And I said, glory to God. And you know what? Really fantastic. And as I left that church, somebody said, James, did you ever pray for a raise? I said, no, but I sure did pray for that First Baptist fellow. I said, Lord, if you ever blessed him, bless him. Bless his heart, bless him. But let me say this to you tonight. Oh, the chief shepherd, he said, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. Are you listening? And a stranger, they will not follow. The Lord Jesus is the chief shepherd of heaven. That blesses me tonight. He shelters me. He's the chief. In that blessing, let's come to the fourth thing. Bible says that the Lord Jesus is a covert. C-O-V-E-R-T. You find that in the book of Isaiah. And he said, a man shall be a covert in the time of the tempest. Brother, it's good to know that when the wind begins to blow. Oh, hallelujah. He's never let one ship go down. And he'll never let one ship go down. I'm glad I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. And I'll sail the wild seas no more. Bless God, he's a covert in the time of the tempest of the storm. And beloved, you can know that he'll keep it. In the time of that storm, he'll keep it. Here's something else. Somebody said, why should we know who Jesus is? Because he's the only one that had chosen me. You know his name was chosen, not his mother. The virgin didn't choose his name, but an angel came and said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And you want something to bless you? Just breathe his name. Just say, Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know that fills my ever longing. Oh, listen, it's worship. My friend, tonight, when you can breathe that chosen name, God chose that name. Oh, he can call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. There's two things about that name I want you to never forget. First, it's the only name that can save you. Now, if you think a preacher can save you, mister, if all you've got is a preacher religion, you don't have much.
Right.
If all you've got is a Baptist, now I'm coming up to here and I've been a Baptist before I saved, a Baptist after I'm saved. I want to tell you something. I'm glad Jesus got a hold of me before the Baptist were. And brother, it's the name of Jesus that you're saved by. Listen, neighbor. It says in Acts 4:12, there's no other name given under heaven whereby you must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. Well, you say, Brother Wayne, that chosen name is the only name that can save a poor lost sinner. I was in a meeting with old Red Curtin. I said, and he got the meanest members I've ever seen before they're saved. I mean, you've never seen such a. He got out there and got the worst people in that country saved. He had a fellow there on Sunday night. They used to wrestle the gorilla. He had him come up there and he said, I want you to testify. But here's what he said. He said, I was lost and I'm done without God. And I was up there in the back seat of a car, broken. I was all liquor and I cast up the content of my stomach. But I was in my bed. And said, this preacher pointed to the pastor, came up and got in the car, reached down, put his arm around me and said, God loves you. And there is a name that can lift you up. There's a sacred name called the name of Jesus. And he said, bless God. When he started crying, Jesus, in my ear, he said, praise the Lord. That's the sweetest name I've ever heard. I'm going to tell you something. When you're lost and somebody gets down at this altar and whispers that name, Jesus, that's the sweetest name that you'll ever hear for time and for eternity. I'm glad for that sweet name. Oh, the saving name. It's the only name that can save you. There's no other name given under heaven whereby you can't be saved but Jesus. Secondly, now whether you believe this or not, it says it twice in the New Testament, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess in heaven, on earth, and in hell.
Amen.
But I want to tell you something. One of these mornings, when Jesus Christ shall come in the revelation as the potentate and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Bible said every knee. I never told you, whenever Hitler and bless God, every old wicked reprobate and every blasphemer, and every adulterer, and every drunkard, and every whoremonger that ever lived. The Bible said every knee shall bow. They're going to bow, but it'll be too late. I'm glad one night I bowed on my knees and cried, "Holy! Holy! Holy!" And brother, you need to bow now. Are you going to bow later? Because you're not too big, you don't have too much money, and you do not have too much prestige. That God can't bring you to your knees. Oh, somebody said, "Not me." Yes, sir, mister. My Bible said that chosen name, the name called the Lord Jesus Christ, that chosen name, every knee shall bow. And so what a wonderful thing is Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Years ago, let me tell you this now. Listen, years ago, a missionary went in and told him about Jesus. And when he got this deep, he started out. Listen, started up the hill. He stopped an old leper woman. Have you ever seen a leper? I've been over there and I've seen a leper. I said, pitiful. Sometimes you don't have any fingers. You got dust. I've been over there where they didn't have toes. They dragged their just nubby feet. And lepers are pitiful. Pitiful. But this old missionary was this deep during the leaves. And somebody said, "There's an old woman dying. Says you don't have a nose. Lepers eating off her nose." He said, "Lepers are eating off her fingers. Lepers eating off her toes." And he said, "I'll stop and talk." And he stopped and got him fire out of the tree. He said, "Hey, do you know the story of Jesus?" And she looked up with no nose. It always seemed horrible. That leper could eat your nose out. He couldn't hardly look at her because she was so hideous looking. And he said, "Have you ever heard the name of Jesus?" And she said, "May not know Jesus. May not know. Never heard." He said, "Let me tell you about him. He's the son of the one that made this world and all this. And he came down to die on a nose. Die on a cross to take your sin and my sin. That if we trust him, we'd be saved." She couldn't understand it. And finally, he got to the cross to her. And she said, "What is his name?" And he said, "Jesus." And boy, he saw the light in her eyes. As her eyes lit up and he saw that the gleam had caught and he knew that she had believed. He said, "Don't forget it. Jesus is his name. Don't forget it. Jesus is his name." And he got in his feet and went 24 miles. He went to bed. The next day a runner came running. I only called us and said, "Hey, mister, there's a woman dying. Her nose is eaten off. She don't have any fingers. She don't have any toes. And if she's dying, a leper outside of that last comment you left said there's something I want to ask you." He said, "What?" He said, "She don't want to die, but she can remember that name and she's forgotten." Said, "She's tried. She's forgotten." Said, "Maybe part of her brain's been the way that ever." But said, "She wants to hear that name." He jumped in that old beach and got that man. They went 24 miles back. And she got, she was dying. And the old missionary got down with his Bible and started reading about Jesus. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." And she looked up and said, "Tell me his name again. Tell me his name again. I want to tell you that God is good to live." It's amazing that you can live by Jesus. Blessed Jesus. And then when you come down to die, are you listening to me? When you come down to die, if somebody will stand by your bed and just say, "Jesus, oh, it will be hard to die."
Amen.
Oh, I'm so glad. Bless God. It'll be hard to die. Jesus, a chosen name. You say, "Why should we know who Jesus is?" Chosen name, now number six. You ought to know who he is because he's the corn of the wheat. You say, "I don't understand." That is what Jesus said. It had a twofold meaning. Jesus said, "Except a grain of corn fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone." Are you listening? And except but if it dies, it'll bring forth much fruit. Now listen to me. It had to come forth. Not only was it to die, Jesus was the corn that was going to die, but it was going to come forth. If you keep him on the cross and shame on you. Me and my wife stopped over here Waffle House the other night, and it's precious. Friend of ours for years now. Well, we don't agree with the doctrine, but she's living up to what she knows. and we went in, and she had a cross with Jesus on it. And my wife said, I wanted to ask her, are you believe Jesus is still on that cross? Well, that's something, my friend, and Jesus is not on the cross. Oh. He died and was buried and got raised him on the third day. And 40 days later, he stepped on the cloud and ascended up to the Father. And praise God, 10 days after that, he sent the Holy Ghost. And all has been on schedule. And some golden daybreak, he's going to send that trumpet and come back for his church. And brother, what a blessing and what a joy it is. And said, Lord, he was the corn that died in. And then he was the corn that budded. Resurrection. Now, if I had time tonight, I said to my wife the other day, I said, I've got a sermon on what God joins together. And what God joins together, he joins death and resurrection together. Any man who preaches resurrection don't preach the death of Jesus. Listen, he's not preaching the gospel.
Right.
Any man that just preaches the death and doesn't preach the resurrection.
Amen.
There's some things God put together, let me show you.
That's right.
God always puts faith in salvation. Not salvation works, he never did. There's not a verse in this Bible where God ever put salvation and works together. It's faith and salvation through grace. The way God put it together. I'll tell you what God did always put together. Works and rewards. And glory to God. Always God put you need to that. Brother, when God puts us together, leave it like God put it in the Word.
Yes.
You'll be trying to pull it out of you and mess it up. And if you do, you'll get in trouble. You'll get in trouble. But I want you to know, he said that piece of corn gonna die, and then he's gonna burn. When he dies, he'll bring what fruit? You know why Aaron's rod budded? Because it's a type of Jesus, the corn of wheat was put in the ground. And brother, that rod budded, a type of the resurrection of the precious Son of God. Boy, it makes me want to shout at that. Oh, you say, now listen, here's it. That's what it meant to Jesus. Here's what it means to us. You say, what does that corn of wheat mean? It means you gotta die. You've got to die to self and pride. And brother, except you die daily, Paul said, I die daily. You'll never be worth anything to Jesus.
Amen.
Until you die. But when you come up and say, come and find me, I die. Oh, I die. Die to what people said about me. I die. I die to what the world thinks. I die. Brother, then you can be worth something to Jesus.
Amen.
Somebody said, preacher, why don't we come know? Why should we know Jesus? He's the corn of wheat that died and was raised. Now, number 7. And I didn't know this in the Bible. I've read that many times. I've heard him say he's the cheapest of 10,000. And I said, Lord, I believe I've read that because I've still went through the Bible a dozen times or more. But you know who said that? A lover.
Right
there, bless God. And it's in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 10. And it's speaking about him. If you meet a stranger on the Jericho road, yeah, that's him. And it's speaking about him, the Son of God. And you know what the book says? He's the cheapest of 10,000. Get 10,000 in here tonight, or 10,000 out the yard, and 10,000 back on the field, and 10 more thousand. And he's the cheapest of 10,000, man. He's all together, brother. I never forget several years ago, I sent people back to church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Brother Lumpkin was pastored in. Brother T.D. Purchase was the famous third man. But Brother Lumpkin was pastored in. I was up there, helped him in the meeting. In fact, Brother Goosley called here tonight. His daddy started that church. Now, I've been in that church many, many times for 20-something years. Now, watch this. I want to help you. Brother Lumpkin said, boy, said, I ain't got the one boy, bitch. Boy, I want to tell you, he loved that boy. He loved him. I believe you also love him, too. But I believe y'all make your children mine. Say amen.
Amen.
Somebody said, mine don't mind. It's your fault.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I mean, we had a good friend that had a mustache. I want to shave it off, but anyway, he had a mustache. He's a big fella. We was in the cafeteria one time. His boy's name was Beck. And he said, close the door, Barry. He said, I'm not doing it. He said, Barry, I said, close the door. And he said, I'm not doing it. And I said, preacher, I want him to leave. He said, why? I said, you close every door in this county. Amen? Yes. You're going to the door slamming finish. Oh, but you say, preacher, I wouldn't whip my little darling. That's the reason he's not a darling.
That's right.
Amen.
He's not a darling. Amen? He was it. He said, preacher, my boy never disobeyed. Well, I said, look, listen, I've been a lot of preachers. I preach every week. And I said, for 25 years, I've gone up and down this country. But I said, just say that again. He said, I want to tell you something. We have only one child. He's not spoiled. He's not mean. He said, I never said he's grown. And I said, go and tell him right now. Don't you do so and so. And Brother Mays, he'd look up and say, yes, Daddy, I'll do anything you want. I said, well, praise God. I said, that's wonderful. He said, you know, he had to go off to church. And he said, he was in that war. So I got a word of war. Boy, I was told that night, me and he and his wife squalled up there in Chattanooga. Boy, we cried. I said, I don't like that crying. I did. I like you squalling churches, don't you? Praise God. I like them. And listen, he's talking about, he said, 3 days before that boat was to dock in New York. Said, guess what? Me and my honey, what he calls it, we're there. And said, the day they got off of that ship and they were going out to this induction center and then to another camp and then it was going to be a discharge. But he said, we were standing there. He said, there's 1,000. Maybe it looked like 2,000. He said, I don't know how many. But he said, just getting off that boat and the beggars are playing. And he said, I kept looking and my wife kept looking and said, we didn't have a one boy. And said, Brother Mays, he said, you'll never know what he meant to me. And my wife said, if you'd got killed in war, we'd have died. He said, you'd have spared me. But he said, that day we waited. But 3 days and nights we hadn't slept. Oh, said, we couldn't hardly eat. We'd go in a place and just cry. Up there in New York, and say, well, preacher, what's the matter? He said, my boy's coming home. My boy's coming home. And said, I can't wait to see him. I said, I'm going to cry. And I pushed my plate back. And I couldn't sleep for 3 nights. He said, I didn't shut my eyes. But said that day when those boys came marching off that day and pray, and the bands were praying, he said, I kept looking in there. My wife was looking in there for a while. She screamed, and away was there. Said, it looked like 1 in 10,000. Said, I saw him. Boy, he was marching. And as far as I was concerned, he was the cheapest of 10,000. Said, he was the only one I could see. And said, I was screaming, and I finally get through the cops and everything. You can't get in! You can't get in! He said, sir, just let him wave and let him see me when he passes by. He said, you know, he said, which one is it, mister? Look, he said, you don't have to ask me. Said, the best looking one? The handsomest one? The finest looking one, said, you know him. He said, mister, all these boys that went over there and give their lives look good to me. He said, yeah, but to me, there's only one. I said, really? He said, I love them all, but said, there's one. He said, but my wife was a screaming and shouting, finally our boy looked. And said, he made a beeline and said, we give him grace. And he said, you know, maybe I'll never get that scene out of my eyes. I can see it now. All those boys coming rushing off. As off that ship, marching as fast as they could. Oh, he said, "Man!" But there was one that was the cheapest among 10,000. Let me tell you tonight, I'm glad there's one that stands above all others. He's the cheapest of 10,000. He's altogether lovely. His name is Jesus. And I'm glad he died for me. He died for the wolfies. He's the cheapest of 10,000. But he was bruised and burned and crucified. And then one day, he came and I never seen him. I opened my heart door. He said, my name is Jesus. Oh, I never think about that. When I looked from his beauty, I fell at his feet. No! I saw the one that the Solomon says, the cheapest among 10,000. I fell at his feet and he kissed away my sin. For all these years, I've been going up and down this country and saying, you ought to know him. He's the cheapest of 10,000. He's all the country. Yes. God knows it! Because he's the only one that can help you while you're there. He's the only one that can help you with the cheapest of 10,000. Ever hear about it, Michael? So much. While you're here tonight.
Why, you ought to know who Jesus is. The Savior.
Oh.